Alrighty, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy, and I'm with Erwin LaCour of MoveNet, and we've been talking about the development of movement patterns as it relates to the brain and mastery of yourself. So I thought we would move it a little bit more back into some more traditional discussion areas as it relates to training. So Erwin, give us your thoughts on what does the word recovery or restoration, or how do you go about doing that through the training process as you see it?
Well, obviously recovery is essential. In many cases, people, they don't have really a problem with overtraining. They have a problem with under-recovery. A lot of people who are competitive want to do so much and believe that, the more they do, the better. They often tend to neglect the need of their body to rest, to be restored. And eventually that is going to be, in fact, counterproductive to their progress and to their performance. So one aspect I want to talk more specifically regarding recovery is not just the fact that, okay, you can simply rest, get massage, sleep and do nothing, but one aspect of recovery actually that is going to be an active aspect of active recovery is going to practice movement skills and physical efforts that are normally not part of your training regimen because, for instance, if you are a baseball player, then you may tend to practice certain moves and certain movement skills, but not the others. So in your case, maybe swimming is going to be good, crawling patterns are going to be good, climbing patterns are going to be good. There's a variety of movements that you could do at relatively low intensity, but they are going to help strengthen your body. So it's a little the idea of cross training, but it's also the idea of physical and mental refreshing. It's like it's refreshing to yourself, to your mind, to do something different, to do movements that you different movements, because one aspect of fatigue, one aspect of being tired, is sometimes it's boredom. It's hard to admit when you have a passion for a sport. It's hard to admit that sometimes you could be bored. You could be you have a desire to do something different. Actually, you should listen to yourself and you should do something different whenever you can and play more and explore more, because the human body is the reason why we do specialized sports, is because we actually, humans are extremely versatile in terms of movement. We can, compared to, say, the dolphin, for instance. The dolphin is in the ocean and basically swims and maybe sometimes jump over the surface of the sea, and that's basically what they do. It would be hard-pressed to actually run and climb and lift and carry and do things like that. So eagles fly, and they fly. That's it. They sometimes walk on the top of a rock or a branch, and the rest of the time they fly. Humans can walk, they can run, they can crawl, they can balance, they can jump and climb, they can do all sorts of manipulative skills, they can even swim. It's incredible. And the reason why we have all these skills is because of the design of evolution. And evolution has allowed us to develop all these movement skills. So we did not evolve as a species with the ability to throw and to catch and to run and to jump, so that one day we could be gold medalists. and so that one day we could be highly specialized athletes and champions. We developed these skills so we could survive and even thrive and become one of the most successful species on Earth while when we were living in nature. And that memory and that biological necessity of a broad scope of movement is still alive in us. We are meant to move naturally, and we are meant to move in many different ways, many different patterns, and in a variety of environments, you know, adapting our movements to a variety of environmental and situational demands. When we become highly specialized, this is not what we do at all. We discard entirely a whole range of movement patterns and movement skills completely. So, for instance, to the specialized runner, lifting is the conditioning. But to the lifter, running is the conditioning, etc. So none of those movement skills, none of those natural movement skills are actually optional from a biological standpoint. They are a biological necessity. And it is extremely beneficial to the body for optimal health, for recovery, for strengthening, for resiliency, to regularly practice the whole range of movement skills, or at least many more than just one specific skill, for instance, like throwing and running. That's my take on it.
Oh, I think there ain't much you can add to that other than that, to me, as you're telling the story, you can literally see, oh, we train our athletes as Olympic lifters. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they're basketball players. They don't have to go. And it's funny, you start to see those rigid edges start to create, you know, in the world of a person. And they actually are long term. They just need to be softened. Not that you don't want to do them. You just need to soften the edges and bring the complete person back into focus.
Yes, this is my sense. Sorry to interrupt you, Stephen, but yeah. I like to say recovery is not just, you know, the recovery after physical exhaustion or physical training. It's the recovery of your full potential for natural human movement skills. It's recovering your movement skills and of course, all the physiological adaptations and mobility, strength, coordination, et cetera, that are going to be generated by the practice of these diverse movement skills. That's the type of recovery I want to talk about, and obviously I believe it's going to help the notion of recovery as like physical recovery after training, because overall you are better, you have a better physique, you have a better physical bodily functions. Overall you're stronger, you're more resilient, more adaptable, physically and physiologically.
All right, so now let's move to the next question, because out of that, it's funny because we were going to talk about repetitive stress problems, but now kind of take what we just talked about, because it is kind of a very neat starting point. Now we move to the next piece where, okay, how do you, in your mind, start to deal with the repetitive stress problems of young people playing the same sport over and over and over again?
It's a hard one because... if you're young, you are extremely energetic, normally at least, though young generations tend to be growing more and more indoors with less and less movement, so they have less and less vitality and energy. It's not a critique, it's just an observation. But to the few who are who have this drive to be physically active, and usually the common idea is that, oh, of course, we're going to find them sports. We're going to find them. We have to know what special talent this kid has. And when we find it, usually it's relatively obvious, okay, this kid is great at football. This kid is great at baseball. And then, okay, that's going to be your sport. But And of course, because of the whole industry of entertainment on TV you're like, okay, either I become a rock star or I become a famous, a champion baseball player, or I become the body. And there's nothing in between. Well, I think it's sad. Because, and I even think, let me tell you, I think it's unfair. Because it is like if a movement, the only finality of movement would be to become a champion. But if you don't have what it takes to be a champion from an early age, if you can't score points for the team, then you're a loser, you're lame, you're useless. So you're going to get much less attention than the rest, than the handful of kids that have a natural talent. This is profoundly unfair, because the message that's sent to these young kids is, okay, well, you don't fit. It's not for you. You're going to be condemned to grow up soft and weak and physically lazy and sedentary and watch games on TV while eating junk food. Right, so that's millions of people out there who are unfit because they were told that they're not good. They're not good enough. They don't deserve attention. Well, actually, they deserve even more attention than the few that are naturally talented. So, and then you have these few apparently privileged that are like super naturally skilled, naturally talented, and that are told, okay, you're going to be a champion, you're going to play these sports, we're going to push you hard. You're 7 years old, you're 8 years old, and it's your time already to become specialized. When that young child has not even finished developing their full range, the full potential for complete movement foundation, not just throwing the ball, people, but running, jumping, balancing, crawling, climbing, lifting, carrying, and of course throwing and catching, but not just that. Throwing or catching is just one element, one of these human movement skills. And we would be wiser and smarter, I believe. Sorry, I don't want to sound arrogant or in any way, but I mean, if we really care for children, for what they can do and the name they could have and, the career they could have one day, but for them, body and mind and heart and spirit and health, if we really care for children, then we want them to develop very strong, very healthy, very resilient, but also very happy. There's a matter of balance, there's a matter of harmony, there's a matter of approaching the individual as a whole, and to see long term, to see their entire development and their entire life, and before pushing them, because daddy wants, boy to be a super champion, maybe a champion he was not able to become. But that's their personal agenda. That's not necessarily the child's agenda. And even if it has become the child agenda, it doesn't mean that the child is going to be happy just doing the same thing over and over and over instead of dedicating some time to practice again. This wonderful movement skills that evolution, the design of evolution gave us. Movement, not just specialty sports, not just repetitive stress. Repetitive physical and mental stress, by the way.
All right. We've come to the end of the time. Because one of the things that I think that is fascinating about your organization is that it has depth. We're not just talking about a DVD here. We're not talking about, six steps to do this, or I've got my new theory on life. This is some serious heavy work, if you really want to be challenged in a way that's different. It's funny because there's a whole, I'm going to leave that one go because I really, for the sake of time today, want to move over to the certification process that you have and what your company, not only do you train this way, but you actually want to get this information out to other trainers, to other coaches.
Yes.
as far as that's concerned. Talk us a little about that.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Last
question.
Yeah, just talk to us a little bit about what it means to be a certified MoveNet instructor, and what is the goals of your organization to get this information out to people.
Well, let's start with the goal of the vision of the organization is to trigger a paradigm shift in the field of fitness. It's no less than this. It may not be. I don't care for being politically correct in that field. You know, what I believe is that the field of fitness today is made of a plethora of options. Many of them pretend to be revolutionary, and what the truth is that there is nothing new under the sun. And while every program, every concept has its place, I believe that what a human being needs is to establish from a young age a solid, healthy, complete foundation of movement skills. And because this is this ability to move, this physical competency is going to carry over life, not just physical life. And so it is philosophy and it is practice. And the certified trainer acquires the methodology, the system that is going to produce that kind of individual. So we're going to produce individuals that are competent, that can move, they can jump, balance, run, crawl, lift, carry, can perform all this range of movement skills, but with not only effectiveness, but also with efficiency. So the goal is that we establish movement efficiency first, and then there are training progressions in terms of volume, intensity, or complexity, the complexity of the environment. That's freedom. That's freedom because the primary form of freedom is movement. And when you exercise, you exercise your freedom of movement. You know, we live in a country where we talk a lot about freedom. But my question is, how do you exercise? How do you experience and exercise your freedom? Right.
We're blessed. Would you be willing to come back on a future show? I can already see that
surely.
This is because that is a question. You come down to it, and you realize that so much of our regimented, compartmentalized training only leads to the same position, regimented, segmented thought. No athlete able to think, you know, in a position. They're busy waiting for to be told what the next thing to do. And I've always contemplated this because this is one thing that I've tested. Recently, the teams I work with, I say to them, I said, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. I want you to just to pick the drill that we're going to do. And they look at me and they go, no, you just tell us what to do. I said, no, I'm asking for you. You've worked with us for years. What is it that we would do to do this? No, I'm not going to do it until you tell me what to do. And that is the outworking of what we're talking about.
Well, you said that there was depth, depth is, I mean, where do you go in life without depth? You know, depth is integrity, and you know, without integrity, nothing else matters. And when you have integrity, then nothing else matters either. So, if you have a strong ethos, you know what you're doing. It's the modality is, I wouldn't say that it's a detail, but the modality, i.e., how you are going to train, is the outcome of the why. Why is it that you train? What is your purpose? What's your intention? So to some people, it's to score. It's to be a specialized athlete. And there's a certain bliss to it, for sure, the bliss of mastery, the bliss of being on top of one's game. And there's nothing wrong about it. It's great. It's beautiful. But I would say that overall, for a healthy individual and for optimum quality of life, there's more to it. And there's more to movement. There's more to fitness. There's more to physical to physical training. And so what MoveNet is trying to do and is actually doing is to induce a change of perception and different to produce and exemplify and show a different orientation in physical training and physical education for overall health and for longevity and for sustainability. It's a little like, you know, there's organic food. Well, let's say MoveNet is organic fitness. And, yeah, it's I like to say it's an exercise of freedom. Movement is your freedom, and you want to exercise it.
Because there is so much Stephen being saying to going outside, that simple act of going outside is a form of recovery. You know, where you're out and you're in that position where you're just walking through the woods and you are free at that moment. And there's so many
exactly
philosophical. It's funny because you just think about like Henry David Thoreau and all these philosophers were guys that would go out and sit next to a tree and look at the tree for a while. You know what I mean? And it really does become an element that we don't do in America now. We're so compartmentalized, segmentized, grouped,
yes,
that we don't even take the time to go out and look at the world and say, okay, what is it that I want to think about today? And so,
yeah,
all right, Erwin.
That's it. Move out, think outside of the box a little, move outside of the box, get out of your compartment, and actually bring the pieces together and be whole. That's the idea. And imagine, I'd like to, you allow me to conclude, imagine the empowerment at an individual level and at a community level, at a nation level, every day, everybody, solo or in within groups, communities together, families, neighborhoods, and everything, would gather and commit to a daily session of natural movement, jumping, crawling, climbing together, etc. Imagine the empowerment it would be. Imagine the change of mentality, of energy levels overnight.
You could see that.
I envision that. You know, envision that, Stephen. You know, I wake up every morning. I wake up in a world where I see a lot of people who are completely out of shape and depressed. And my dream and my vision is that I one day I wake up in a world where everybody is self-actualized and empowered. And I believe that movement, and especially natural movement, in that regard, is a very powerful way to get there. That's my vision. That's my belief. And I was happy to share it with you today.
Thank you. And if you'd like more information, movnat.com. Erwin, thank you very much for investing the time in our show today. And I would
thank you so much.
Yes, and I would encourage everybody to go to their site. We will have the links on the interview page on our site as well.
Thanks
we'll be
a
back
lot.
After the break. Yep.
My pleasure.
Go ahead, Erwin.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Have a good day, too.